As I said earlier on, I'd like to consider with you chapter 4 again in our series of study of the book of James. And the reason why I decided to continue on to look at verse 8, because there is a connection from our last study of verse 7. And I shall explain to you as we go along. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. This command, it is a command, and we know, because if you go to your Greek lexicon, this word draw nigh or draw near, it is in the imperative mood. And so it is a command to draw near to God. But it is not implying that man takes the first step in salvation. No, we, our natural self, in our fallen state, we will not seek after God. It is God who seeks us out. It is rather depicting a spirit work respond to God's word. And so the subject before us this morning is the only cure for wandering sinner. Let us consider this message with hope, with comfort, particularly for us who are Christians. And I'd like to speak to you on this subject. Perhaps some of us may be wandering. Some of us may have turned away from the Lord, backslided, and we are discouraged. Perhaps we are afflicted, and we are despondent, and we are wandering away from the Lord, looking elsewhere for help. And so I beseech all of us that we consider this message with hope. When we have done that, and then we will look at, secondly, learning how to put this command into practice. And thirdly, we shall think of the many ways it will help us. The blessing or the fruit of keeping this command to draw near to God. Firstly, consider this message as a message of hope, or a message with hope. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. We may consider this command with hope. Why? Firstly, here is a sincere call to every Christian to come back to God, to not to forsake God, to not turn away from Him, despite whatever situation, difficulties you are undergoing. Do not despair, but turn back to God. Though the situation and circumstances around us may seem hopeless, but here, we as God's people, there is hope, there is help. When we preach from such a text as this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you, perhaps some of us may think that actually it is in the wrong order, as we know from Scripture. Is it not what the Bible says, that it is God who first draw nigh to us? It is God who first seek us out, for we will never seek God in the first place. Is it not the Holy Spirit that draws us to Himself, to salvation? Yes, that's the correct order. That is the right order. And our text actually is in the right order too, because there is to be understood here something which is very clear to every careful reader, which shows that the grace of God is implied at the back of this command. The text itself is a call from God, and no sinner ever comes back to God or comes to the Lord until the Lord Himself calls him or her back to Him.
But in this context, he does call him.
By the mouth of the apostle, he says, draw nigh to God. And he proffers us to repeat this message in his name. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And so to those who are wandering away from the Lord, to those who turn away from God, you who have wandered great distance from God, your Savior, your Redeemer, and now God says to you, go no further, draw nigh or draw near to me. Let me explain or illustrate in this way. If you have offended some friend or someone, perhaps your friend or a loved one, and you wish to make it up, you would feel that it was an easy matter if your friend himself come to you, if he took the initiative and asked you to come. You who offended this friend, but yet he or she takes the initiative to come to you, to make up with you, then it seems to me, isn't it, you would feel great gratitude to him and say, he has taken the first step towards our reconciliation. Now, I'm willing, and willingly and cheerfully take the second. So it is by the same token that the Lord sends to you this message to induce you to come to him. Draw nigh to God. Take note that this text is not merely an invitation, as I said earlier. It is a command. It means you have no choice. Obey it, I entreat you. You need not fear that you are an intruder. When, in the exercise of this, of his great or gracious sovereignty, God says to you, come, draw near. Next, observe that in addition to a sincere call from God to you, there is also an open way or a path to him. God says to you, draw near to me, but he would not invite you to come if there is no way, or he has not created a path or a way or a road to which you can go to him, or by which you can come to him. The way to come to God is also provided in this call. You see the beauty and the mercy of the Lord, that it is not just a command, it is not just an injunction to order you to come, but in his gracious mercy, he also makes the way. And we know that the way to God is provided for us. How? And I'm sure many of you in this congregation, young and old, you know that the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son, he has bridged that great gulf fixed between you and God. Jesus, our Lord, by his finished cross work, has made the way plain and easy by which the sinner may come back to God. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19. The making of that way cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. He has to shed his blood to make that way for us. But he did it. His heart bled out its life that he might make plain the way of expiation by which alone a sinner can come near to God. But the road is made. The pathway is opened up for us. And there is nothing in the way now. No divine anger, no righteous wrath, no avenging law to prevent us from coming to God, from drawing nigh to God. Therefore, come as you are, brethren and friends. Do not forsake your God, your Creator, your Savior. Draw nigh to God, for Christ, your Savior, has made the way and clear it, for the road is free. Free to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has completed it. He has not merely made it halfway. Please take note of that. He has finished it all the way. All the way from the beginning to the end. And He Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 verse 6. Moreover, consider the invitation of the text with great hopefulness. Consider the invitation of the text with great hopefulness. Because there is an encouragement promise appended to this text, to this command. Read the whole text once again. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. There is nothing in it about casting out or putting you away or spurning you or rejecting you, but the promise is emphatic. He will draw nigh to you. And it is God who said that, not man. It is God who spoke to the apostle, through the apostle to us, and in His word. I would like to remind you of the well-known parable of the prodigal son, and I'm sure you are familiar with that parable of the prodigal son. Did you notice, can you recall, when the son, he was yet a great way off, what happened? His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Luke 15 verse 20. It is, after all, not a very far distance, as far as we can understand from that parable. That sinners, it is not very far away in his path or in the way to returning to God. The great part, all the way, God personally comes to the sinner who desires to return to Him. Only turn your face Godward, heavenward, and your God is at once with you. You see, oftentimes when we believers, we feel as though God is far away from us. And when our prayers are not answered immediately, or God's answer to our prayer is delayed, we feel, or it seems, that God is far away from us. But we have forgotten the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But why is it that you feel that God is forsaking you? Because you have moved. God has not moved. It is you who turn away from God, wandering away, and that is why you felt as if God is far, because God can never fail in His promise to be with you. It is you who chose to turn away from Him, to wander away from Him. And in addition to this, I want to raise this question, or rather this point, to your attention. Draw nigh to God. And what happened? Not only it is a call or a command, and also appended, as I say in this text, that God has made the way. In addition to that, in this call, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. It comes, this command comes with the help of the Holy Spirit. Before our Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, as you know, He promised that the Holy Spirit shall be given to His church, to His people. And indeed, the Holy Spirit has been given to us, to the believers. The Holy Spirit indwelled in the hearts of the believers. For what purpose? And the Holy Spirit has never gone away. He is still here to help us in our infirmities, to guide us in our prayer, to convince us of our sin,
or to convict us of our sin, and to reveal Christ to us as we spend time in the reading of God's Word. It is the Holy Spirit who open up sacred pages to us and give us that spiritual understanding and discernment of the truth, and to create in us faith, and to strengthen that faith while it is weak. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so this call comes with the help of the Holy Spirit, beside God making the way possible for us to draw nigh to Him through the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus, on the cross. Brethren, you have all the help you need in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no excuses, no reason whatsoever to justify your wandering or your turning away from God, from seeking after Him. There is no way you can stand before God and give a reason or valid reason why you do not draw near to God. Here you have all the help. And as I said, and I repeat it again, it is you and I who turn away from the Lord. You do not believe. You distrust His promises. You decide willfully to turn away from Him. He is always there. He has never left us nor forsake us. It is us, you and I, in our foolish pride, in our unbelief, turn our backs to Him. Here is the one who is your all-sufficient help to lean upon. Draw near to God, or draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Only be willing, my friend and brethren, only be willing to be helped. You see, it is true. I've said before, why do we not pray? Or for example, why do we, in our human relationship with one another, with our friends and loved ones and even our neighbors, why do we, when we are in need of help, we refuse or unwilling to be helped? Because of pride. You see, to ask someone to help means what? I do not want the person to look at me that I am in need of help. That means I'm weak. That means I cannot help myself. I'm depending upon him or her to help me. You see that spirit? You see that attitude of our hearts? And as I said the last time, it is common among the Asian, especially the Chinese, when we need help. Why? Because we don't want to, we say, but 爭他一個人情啊, you know, owe him a favor. Why? We say that because it's pride. 我不可以爭他, I don't want to be dependent on him. 我不可以爭他一個人情, it's because of my pride. You see? And we carry that kind of spirit in our relationship with God. Asking God means praying, means you depend on God. You need to humble yourself. You see, to open your mouth to ask for help lowers you. You have to pierce that marrow of your pride. You see? And so therefore, it is us. The problem lies with us. And so here, in humility, let us all, I entreat you, I entreat myself, yield yourself to Him, yield yourself to God, yield yourself to your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will bless you. Now please, I qualify. He's not going to bless you per se with all your material blessing. I'm referring to spiritual blessing. He will bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Dear friends, God says draw near. And there is this call, His call to you. Will you disobey it? Will you reject it? Will you turn away from this command? I would say that it is a very gentle command. It is an entreatment to you. It is implied in that call that He has made a way for you to come to Him. Will you not avail yourself of it? Why continue on in your
discouragement, in your despondency, in your affliction, when you have all the help, why turn away from God and seek after other ways where there is no help? He has added to this call an encouraging promise to you that you shall be welcome if you come to Him. Will you allow that promise to be made known to you and yet not obtain the blessing that is promised? Then, beside all this, what a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. There is the Holy Spirit, I say, waiting to be gracious. Will you resist and quench the Holy Spirit, as many have done, who have perished in their sin? Will you, in your foolish pride, turn away from God and reject this promise, when it is so lovingly offered to you? I can do no more than to tell you these things with loving earnestness, because the day will come, friends and brethren, if you despise, if you persist in your rejecting and turning away from God, if you neglect this call graciously extended to you, you will have to answer, not to me, but to Him who sent me to issue this call to you. Therefore, consider, I urge you, what answer will you give to Him, to the question whether you will come to Him or not, while He says to you, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Brethren and friends, think of this, meditate upon this, and decide for yourself. Let us move on to the second part of our subject, and which is a very practical aspect. It is this: apply this message of hope. Apply this message of hope. How can a man draw near to God? How can a woman, how can a boy or a girl, young or old, draw near to God? Well, we must begin by thinking of Him. God is not fixed in any one place, so that we need to go on a pilgrimage in order to reach God. God is a spirit, and the way to draw near to a spirit is, first of all, to think of Him, or what we call in Scripture, to meditate upon Him, to exercise our mental faculty, to set aside time to think about our Creator, think about this God who made us in His image, think about this One Sovereign who is your preserver, your provider, your guidance, your friend, your judge, your Savior. Think of all this. Think of what He has done for you. Think of the time. Recall how, in your days of trouble, sorrow, sickness, how He draws near. When all your friends forsake you, when even your family members and loved ones cannot help you, how God comes to you to comfort you, to help you think of Him. Very simple, which I'm sure you know. How do you think of all this thing? By reading the Word of God. And that is why it is so important for us to have daily input of the Word of God, the sacred Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and it is our spiritual food for our spiritual well-being. For the Scripture will both give you the best subject for your thoughts on God or of God, and can assist you to understand more of God through your reading and the meditation of Scripture. Next, seek also to hear the Gospel. Every opportunity that you have available to you to hear the Word of God, to hear the Gospel, make sure you avail yourself to it. If you know anyone who speaks to your heart about God
and Christ and the gospel, give him or her the opportunity of speaking to you as often as it is possible. Try also to talk with some of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, with people who pray to God, with people who read the Word of God, with people who are friends of God, and to commune with them, and get as far away yourself from the ungodly, from those that will hinder your spiritual growth. Make no friends with those who are enemies of the gospel. They will not help you. They will hinder you. More friends, companions who are godly, God-fearing, and that will help. Get far away from those who deny Christ and blaspheme him. And in this way, I believe, it will not be long before he will begin to show or reveal himself to you. If you are willing to find the Lord Jesus, you will see traces of his skill, of his wisdom, of his power there. If you look at the working of his providence, if you look around, take time, as I said before, brethren, and many of us living in the city especially, we are so busy looking at our handphones and whatever else you can say and justify that it is necessary, true. It has become a part and puzzle of our daily life, working life. We need the handphone, we need this, we need the gadget. But let us not forget to set aside time to stop, to throw the handphone away or whatever that will distract you, or the computer or the iPad or what have you, or any other things that will draw you away from God, to throw it aside. Even though, as I said before, it is necessary, it is legitimate to have all those things, but let us not do so to the neglect of meditating, of reading God's Word, of hearing the Gospel, and I must add, of reading good, edifying Christian literatures or book that will help you in your spiritual well-being. We have a library there, but it is totally underused. Well, perhaps you may say that, well, I have all these books in my own library, but have you been reading it? Or is it by and just put up in the shell? And if you are willing, you will see. If you look at the working of his providence, expecting to find him, you will not take long before you find him. For, as we have often been reminded, he who watches providence will never be without a providence to watch. I repeat, he who watches providence, I'm referring to God's providence, will never be without a providence to watch. Furthermore, draw near to God. For what purpose? What good? Draw near to God. How? Or rather, how, I should say. By repentance. If you have done wrong, if you have sinned against your Creator, your Savior, do not keep away from him. And you will do more wrong in keeping away from him. Do not try to hide your sin or make up your own righteousness. But go to God. Tell him that you have wronged. Tell him you have sinned against him. Tell him that you have disobeyed. Admit it. Acknowledge it. And you will be sure, as you plead for his forgiveness, he is ever willing to forgive. To forgive to those who truly turn to him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God will never, can never reject that heart. Tell him that you have a tendency to do wrong. Speak to him from your heart. Honestly acknowledge that you are weak. Ask him to change your heart. Tell him that you seem to be wrong altogether, and beg him and plead him to make you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw near to him in a penitential spirit. It is your sin, your sense of sin, that keeps you back from him, whatever the sin may be. And usually, as I said, it is a sin of pride that kept us back from returning to God. But rightly considered, that sense of sin should drive us, should drive you and me to Him, rather than restrain us from going to Him. Then there is another practical aspect. How to draw nigh to God? In prayer. You don't need rocket science or to spend 4 years in seminary studying Hebrew and Greek to understand this. And I'm sure all of us here in this congregation, young and old, you know how to draw near to God, how to know God through the Word and through prayer. Do you know that prayer is the soul speaking to God? It is not the act of repeating something that you have learned or heard or read. The mere utterance of any particular form of words is nothing. Speak to God from your heart. Any true speech straight from the heart is accepted by God. Only tell the Lord Jesus from your heart anything that is true about yourselves, and you have begun praying. Make prayer your daily top priority. Start the day with prayer. Start the day with prayer. Start the day with a simple prayer of thanksgiving that you are able to get out of bed. I'm sure you have read the news. I do not know whether you are shocked or surprised. As I was praying just now, it really came as a shock to me in Japan that the former Prime Minister, and I'm sure he and his family members and all those around him never expected that. Never. I never expected that to happen in Japan. Maybe in America and in this country, yes. But not in Japan. But you see, so suddenly, isn't it? And it reminds me of my friend back in our Singapore church. The deacon died in his sleep. He himself, his family, I'm very sure, he himself, his family, and all those around him, his friends or whoever who knows him, never, never expected, isn't it? That suddenly the Lord said, time's up. So my dear friends, draw nigh to God while He may be found. Make prayer your top priorities, and He will draw near to you. Be prepared, every one of us who claim or profess to be a believer, be prepared according to the word of the prophet Amos, to meet your Creator and to give an account of your life. Don't deceive yourself and be deceived by all this false gospel that once saved, forever saved, judgment on the second coming of Christ is only for the non-believer. Oh no, read again in Scripture. It is a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. Both have to stand before God to give an answer. For the unbelievers, yes, they have to answer to God for rejecting the gospel. For us who are believers, you still have to answer. What have you done with your new life in the Lord Jesus Christ that He has given to you? Have you squandered it? Have you lived your life that brought shame and dishonor to the name of God? You and I have to give an answer. So never think that, oh, once saved, forever saved. So it doesn't matter how I live right now. Do as I like. Feel like coming to church, I come. Don't feel like coming to church, read the Bible if I feel like reading. If I don't read, it's okay. Once saved, forever saved. I will sure go to heaven. What's the big deal? It's okay. God is very forgiving. Oh no. Yes, true. God is very forgiving. But He forgives to those who truly repent. You see? And so, my friend, I shall consider right now the last part with you, and I shall conclude with just a few words on my third point. The practical effect of this message of hope. The practical effect of this message of hope. Now, if we draw near to God, it will have an effect upon our common everyday life. You see that? Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. How? First of all, you, if you follow the run, the grain of this chapter 4, you will see that drawing nigh to God will help us to resist the devil. Look at verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then followed by verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So you see the connection there. The injunction is followed by the promise. Resist the devil, which is an injunction or a command, and he will flee from you. And are immediately followed by our text, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So you see the effect of drawing nigh to God. It affects our daily life as believers. Satan and the power of darkness, under his control, he tempts us in all sorts of ways. At home, at our place of work, we are tempted in all manner of places. And if any believer would be so armed as to be able to resist those temptations from our enemy, the evil one, the very best thing for us to do is only one way. Turn back to God. Draw near to God. The ship is never so safe as when it is close to the shepherd. You see that? Did you observe that? Perhaps some of us, well, we are living in city. Perhaps spend some time, take your vacation to visit a sheep farm and take a look and observe that when you see the sheep lying down, it means they feel safe. Why? They know the shepherd is around. And that is why they are able, confidently, restfully, lie down and rest. And so, brethren, the prodigal son is never so safe and so happy as when he is sitting at his father's table and feasting on the good things provided by his father's love. Draw nigh to God, and he and you will be able to resist the tempter and drive him away from you. In the next place, draw nigh to God will help you to become pure. The verse that follows, read the whole verse again. In verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And then what? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So you see, again, the next effect. Draw nigh to God will purify your hearts. Ye double-minded, do you wish to be chaste? Do you wish to be neat? Do you wish to be cleansed? Do you not? Do you wish to be sober? You wish to be holy? You wish to be pure in speech, pure in your act, in your deeds? Do you not, as believers? Well then, nothing purifies us like getting near to God in Christ. In Jesus, there is cleansing by water as well as by blood. The blood that washes away the guilt of sin is accompanied by a cleansing flood that takes away the power of sin, the guilt of sin, so that the hands are cleansed and the hearts are purified when we draw nigh to God. Further, drawing nigh to God will help us to sorrow for sin. For the next verse says to us, verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. A tender heart, you see, is necessary to the reading of the mind of God in knowing the will of God. So always try to keep your heart tender. When you feel your heart beginning to petrify, pray to God to plunge it into the Redeemer's blood to make your heart soft again. The Lord grant you that we may draw so near to Him that our hearts may be kept soft. For hardness of heart can never come to the man who is kept near to God. If you are drawing near to God, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit will continue that work of softening your heart, making it tender, pliable to do the will of God. One more effect is this. If you draw near to God, it will also help you to think well of others, of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and of your neighbors. Speak not evil one of another. Says the apostle in verse 11. Speak not evil one for another in our chapter, chapter 4. The Christian who lives near to God gets to have a kindly feelings towards others. Speaking evil of others will prove that you have not been anywhere near your Master, near your Jesus. And last of all, if we live near to God, it will help us to think of eternal things. The Apostle Paul warns us, or rather the Apostle warns us here, we will not go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. All that kind of thought. A Christian, a believer who is walking near and close to God, will always have in his mind or her mind things eternal. He who is near to God thinks of eternal things, for he knows that this world is not his rest. There is nothing here that is substantial and abiding. So he or she, as a believer, is waiting to hear the trumpet sound, and he stands ready at his captain's call to be gone to another, a better world, a new city, a new Jerusalem. If you draw near or dwell near to God, you will not be afraid of dying. For the Apostle Paul says what? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that is for the believer. You will not. In fact, you will rather dread to remain here in this sin-cursed world, every day vexed by the evil of this world, just as what it has done to Lot, Abraham's nephew. Remember this. This is your place of exile and your state of probation. Brethren, I do not know anything that can do us so much good in our daily life as pilgrims, as walking near with our God, with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think of no other thing. If you live near to God, you can be assured all your cares, the family worries, troubles, will not wax your spirit as they do now. You will live above them, and the outside world, with all its fault finding, with all its affliction, with all its anxiety, with all its ups and downs and the vicissitudes of life, will all seem very, very small and insignificant to you when you draw near to God. When you live your life as Christian very, very close to your Savior each day. May the Lord bless you, beloved, with all this drawing near to Him. And He is capable of giving it to you if you do so, if you yield yourself to Him. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as You have given us this call, O Father in heaven, we pray that Your Spirit will soften our hearts, that we will not resist, that Thou will take away our pride, that we may humbly come to Thee, to return to Thee, to walk close to Thee, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. O Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to remember and to realize that in this world there is no other help, no one who is able to help us so sufficiently as You, our Savior, our God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. No one who truly understands us, not even our loved ones, not even the best of friends. You, Heavenly Father, our Creator, is the one And so help us to draw near while you may be found. Help us to prepare ourselves, those of us who are your children, bought by thy blood, purchased by thy blood, that we may prepare ourselves to meet our Creator soon. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.